Thank you very much to the Chair and to the Committee for inviting me to this exchange of views. It's very much appreciated, as it gives us the opportunity to garner international support for our campaign. After introducing myself and the work that we are doing with the Time for Truth campaign, I will offer the committee a snapshot of what families who were bereaved or injured during the conflict in the north of Ireland are experiencing to this day under the British administration. I aim to give you an update on the lack of movement in dealing with the legacy of the past in the north of Ireland. And by example, we'll highlight a couple of key recent legal cases. The European Committee of Ministers, of course, have commented on this lack of movement by the British authorities. Then, if you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer those on behalf of the families. My name is Kieran McArch. I am the grandson of John and Kathleen Irvine. Kathleen was one of 15 innocent civilians who were massacred in McGurk's Bar on 4th of December 1971. Among the dead were two children. My grandfather, John, was very badly injured but was lucky to escape with his life. At the time, the McGurk's Bar massacre was the greatest loss of civilian life in any single murderous attack since the Nazi Blitz of Belfast a generation before. The bomb was planted outside the bar by pro-state British extremists, but the British state deliberately blamed the attack on the Irish civilians in the bar and allowed the true perpetrators go free. So the very people who should have been defending the basic human rights of the innocent civilians in the bar that night tried to criminalise each and every single one of them, including my grandparents. As families now, we have been fighting constitutionally and with great dignity for over two generations to clear their names. And it's a fight that continues to this day. I'm also founder and manager of the charity Paper Trail Legacy Archive Research, which is funded by the EU's Peace 4 programme and Victims and Survivors Service to advocate for victims and survivors of the conflict, regardless of their background or their creed. And I'm also the spokesperson for the Time for Truth campaign. The Time for Truth campaign was created in early 2018 by families who were bereaved or injured during the conflict to offer support to each other and to reach out to families who thought that their voices were not being heard. We were brought together by our shared experiences and by the great hurt that is being caused by the British state's failure to deal with the legacy of the past in the north of Ireland, and indeed in Britain and the island of Ireland. We do not believe in the myth of blamelessness. All sides have their part to play, but this discussion regards what is incumbent upon the British authorities to fulfil its duties to its citizens. There should be no hierarchy of victims, and we all should be equal in the eyes of the law. Our families believe that we were stronger together if we campaigned as one and fought for three simple objectives which would benefit all families impacted by the violence of the conflict. Number one, we demand the implementation of the Stormont House Agreement and the proper resourcing of its mechanisms for dealing with the past. This has already been agreed by the parties in the North and the British and Irish governments as far back as 2014, and yet here we are today. In the meantime, we demand, number two, the proper funding of the court's legacy inquest system as set out by the Lord Chief Justice Declan Morgan himself in his five-year plan. And we also ask for, number three, the proper resourcing of the Office of the Police Ombudsman. These may be the only avenues and means for families to even hope for a modicum of truth and justice until the units and institutions of the Stormont House Agreement are implemented. These may take 2 years to start working properly, even if they were constituted today. We enjoy great support from our local community and our political reps from the start of the campaign for truth. In February 2018, around 7,000 people joined us in the streets of Belfast from all over the north of Ireland and beyond for the Time for Truth march. Our families and supporters then helped collect nearly 15,000 of 17,000 responses for the Northern Ireland Office's consultation addressing the legacy of the past in October 2018. From December to February of this year, we have collected thousands of signatures in support of our three simple objectives. We have run white line pickets and advice support clinics, and we will be organising another mass demonstration as the British authorities continue to be intransigent. Thanks to Martina Anderson, MEP, a delegation of the Time for Truth campaign visited both Brussels and Strasbourg to brief members of the European Parliament, and we met with the new European Human Rights Commissioner. Nearly 6 months on since the end of the Northern Ireland Office's consultation, no formal response from the British government has been delivered. I was personally told by the authorities at a meeting in Stormont House that we would have it by January. Last week we heard we will be waiting a few weeks yet, but no definite date has been offered. Concerns about yet further delay have been compounded by the heavily publicised interventions by the British Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Karen Bradley, and the Defence Secretary, Gavin Williamson. Karen Bradley made these comments in open Parliament, and I quote, "Over 90% of the killings during the Troubles were at the hands of terrorists. Every single one of those was a crime. The fewer than 10% that were at the hands of the military and police were not crimes. They were people acting under orders and under instruction and fulfilling their duties in a dignified and appropriate way." Now, Karen Bradley's comments were highly offensive and caused untold hurt among many of our family members, no less among those who lost children at the hands of British soldiers, but also those whose family members were killed by agents of the state. They were factually incorrect, and she had to make an embarrassing climb down within 24 hours, but the damage was already done. Gavin Williamson then asserted that he will introduce legislation to protect former British Armed Forces personnel from facing prosecution for British Army killings during tours in Ireland, Iraq and Afghanistan, even though amnesty for state forces was not included in the consultation that we answered. All of this played out on the world stage as the Ballymurphy families in Belfast fought for truth and justice in an inquest nearly 48 years after 11 of their loved ones were killed by the British Army. And the families of the Bloody Sunday massacre in Derry awaited news of whether any British soldiers would face prosecution for murdering 14 of their loved ones in 1972. Only one is to face prosecution, only one for the murder of 14 unarmed citizens. We believe that any attempt to introduce any form of amnesty for Crown Forces will totally undermine the policy intent of the Stormont House Agreement. Within the past 24 hours, the government seems to have backed down, but again, the damage has been done. Recently, the European Committee of Ministers delivered yet further searing critique and indictment of the British government's continuing failure to fulfil its international obligations on key legacy issues. It noted the continued failure of the British state to complete the investigations and related litigation of the McCare shoot-to-kill cases. The committee heard of the Irish government's deep concerns, quote, that the legacy institutions of the Stormont House Agreement, agreed over 4 years ago, have still not been established. It is unacceptable that many hundreds of families should have to experience any further delay before having access to a system that can effectively investigate the deaths of a family member. Developments in recent weeks have underlined the British state's incapacity or unwillingness to deal with the legacy of the past in the north of Ireland. Two very recent legal cases highlight this breach of human rights. In late February, the Supreme Court ruled the British state has yet to provide an effective investigation into its murder of human rights lawyer Pat Finucane, an officer of the court. Not only did agents of the British state take Mr. Finucane's life, but the British state has failed in its duties under Article 2 of the European Convention of Human Rights to provide a fair and prompt investigation into his murder 30 years ago. Just a couple of weeks ago, in a case that I'm heavily involved with, the family of Jean Smith Campbell won a landmark decision against the Police Service of Northern Ireland and a so-called Legacy Investigation Branch, or LIB. Jean was a single mother and a civilian who was shot dead for absolutely no reason on 8th of June 1972. The police, past and present, told her family that she was murdered by local Republicans of the Irish Republican Army. And yet archives that I discovered in the National Archives in London proved that she was in fact killed by the British Army. And more specifically, it seems, by the Military Reaction Force, a clandestine British Army Special Force unit, which left a trail of dead civilians and injured civilians in its wake in the early 70s in the north of Ireland. The Court of Appeal in Belfast ruled that the LIB lacks the requisite practical independence to conduct an Article 2 complaint investigation into the murder of Jean. It also noted that the LIB had thus far failed to carry out any investigation into Jean's murder, even during the 4 years that the family was contesting the case against the state. The Chief Constable has now been instructed by the court to ensure an Article 2 compliant investigation is carried out promptly by an independent team of investigators. This has far-reaching implications to many of our cases and campaigns back home, as many of our families have never trusted the PSNI's independence when dealing with legacy cases. This case also highlights yet again why the institution of an independent historical investigations unit under the terms of the Stormont House Agreement is absolutely imperative. Furthermore, I believe that the strategy of the British state and the PSNI for dealing with the legacy of the past up until this very day has been consistent. They have followed a three-pronged strategy of denial, delay and death. They deny and fail to acknowledge any wrongdoing until such a point that they can deny it no longer. They delay any investigation or legal avenue for pursuing truth and justice, and they hope in the meantime family campaigners die and campaigns for truth falter. Recent history also proves that information is today's battlefield. The British authorities and the police have been hauled over the coals for failure to disclose information and evidence to even their own courts and the police ombudsman. The PSNI recently remembered that it actually had a massive database of information given to it by the British Army over 10 years ago, and then rediscovered crucial evidence relating to the management of state agents involved in dozens of murders of civilians, including those massacred in Sean Graham's boogies in 1992. Within the last few years, a previously unknown repository of British Ministry of Defence information and evidence was discovered in Swan-le-Cote, Derbyshire, with millions of files relating to the conflict. I fear, and just last year in February, there was an unexplained fire in Palace Barracks, and it destroyed an unknown quantity of files relating to the British Army's Ulster Defence Regiment's operations in the north of Ireland. I fear that the so-called Reformed Police Service of Northern Ireland, which is supposed to offer us a new policing dispensation, may in fact become a casualty of this legacy policy, as many of our families do not trust the police anywhere near a legacy case. And this is having a grave impact on policing in the present too. That is why we demand and need the implementation of the Stormont House Agreement and the proper resourcing of the Coronial Inquest System and the Office of the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland. In the meantime, our families are again on the front line and are the first to suffer because of the British state's failure to deal with the legacy of the past. Those who suffer most go to their grave without even a hope of truth and justice. And as I've said, their death suits the British state and its legacy policy. To conclude, Chair, may I take this opportunity to ask for a motion for resolution on the Time for Truth campaign and our three simple objectives, which can, if constituted fairly, benefit all victims and survivors in the north of Ireland. In the meantime, thank you very much to the Chair and to the esteemed members of the committee for your time today. I'll be very glad now to listen to your views and take any questions.